Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to any friends and visitors. Again, I apologize for the technical mishap. Today is October 31st, and we all know what that is. At least most of us do. But I just wanted to do a quick refresher course. Today is obviously Halloween. And for Jen and I, as our kids are getting older, they are now encountering it more from their friends at school. And, you know, when you don't change the channel fast enough or you miss the beginning of the episode of their show on TV, they inevitably get hit with that always Halloween special. And just driving to my parents' house or walking into a store, we are borderline visually assaulted by all things Halloween based. It's no longer about a change of seasons to fall and pumpkin spice everything. It's about witches, ghouls, and everything Halloween. And it isn't all just a harmless, fun holiday, is it? So we have to work to explain to our kids why they can't dress up for school and why they don't get out for to go get candy like their friends do. And it's been a good opportunity to revisit the facts of why we don't do what they, their friends, do. So while holidays like Christmas and Easter can be a little harder to explain to our kids as they do with some, as they do have some Christian themes, Halloween is a is a completely different thing. Halloween, I have to do the history part. Most of you who know me know I have to do this, so I'm just going to do this. Halloween can be traced back to distinctly pagan origins, pagan sources. Its origins traced back to the ancient Celtic, whatever you want to call it, holiday of Samhain or Samhain, however you want to pronounce it. Scholars debate it, which was usually celebrated from October 31st to November 1st. And it was to welcome in the harvest and to usher in, quote, the dark half of the year. For obvious reasons, it's winter. They believe that the barriers between the physical world and the spirit world break down on this day, allowing more interaction between humans and spirit beings, like proper Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter type stuff. They prepared offerings that were left out for fairies, spirits, and even ancestors. The Celts would dress as animals and monsters, and divination and other rituals became very popular as the spirits of ancestors were believed to be able to cross back and forth as the veil between both worlds was thin. Clearly, this day has some deep and dark roots. In medieval England, soulers, that's spelled S-O-U-L-E-R-S, will go around begging the rich for soul cakes on Halloween. Instead of threatening to play tricks, however, they'd pray for people's souls in return for the cake, hence the basis for trick or treating. Here's a few other traditions. Bobbing for apples, divination. Jack-o'-lanterns were based on an old tale of making a deal with the devil or warded off demons with scary faces, black cats, mirror rituals, summoning of spirits. It's all there. You name it, you're going to find it. It starts there. In the 9th century, the Catholic Church joined the church into the pagan when it named November 1st, All Saints Day, October 31st became All Hallows Eve, and with other pagan holidays, the church did try to refocus the day away from its roots and change its overall meaning. Wicca, New Age, and Satanic cults all hold Halloween as one of the most important days of the year. The leader of the Church of Satan, no joke, Anton LaVey, claimed Halloween is one of the two of the most important days of the year for his worshipers. It is even quoted that he is glad that Christian parents let their children worship on this day that they venerate so much. Many rituals and the secret practices of satanic worship involve all the kinds of abuses, sacrifices, and a lot more. It is reasonable then that many believers would find at least some aspect of its celebration disturbing. The traditional emphasis upon the occult, witches, devils, death, and evil sends messages to our kids that most godly parents can only regard with alarm, and there is clearly no place in the Christian community for this darker side of Halloween. And according to a CBN News Facebook poll, 87% of believers feel that Christians should not celebrate Halloween, while 13% believe it's okay. I will say that I feel the tide is turning, though. Mainstream Christianity, as far as I am aware and as far as I see it, is more and more waking up to the evils of the day and steering clear of Halloween as loosely as they may currently be doing. In Judaism, it's not permitted at all. Most Jews do not participate in it, and one of those reasons is because it violates Leviticus 18:3, which forbids Jews from partaking in Gentile customs. But regardless, in the law of Deuteronomy, it emphasizes the sinfulness of witchcraft and all forms of practicing these darker deeds. We are to be set apart. So today I'm going to ask us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. And then starting in verse 9, it says, "When you come into the land which the Lord of your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls upon the dead. Continuing on, for all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you will dispossess listened to the soothsayers and diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. We are to be different. We are to be holy and set apart and noticeably different. Look no further than Saul and the witch of," I know, Star Wars fans love it, "Endor in 1 Samuel 28. We don't need to turn there. But Samuel's death, God has turned away from Saul. Saul becomes distraught and doesn't know what direction to go. He previously banned all practitioners of these dark arts from the kingdom of Israel, but then goes and seeks the conjurer out to bring Samuel up from the dead to advise him. Scripture tells us that Samuel is raised and speaks and condemns Saul for doing this." It's pretty crazy, I know, to think that this happened is included for us to read about and learn from. We are not to participate in any aspect of this, as we are told numerous times over and over. I think we can all agree that it is sinful and dark, and as such should be avoided. Let's see what Ephesians has to say. I'm going to ask you to turn to chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, and beginning in verse 1. And in chapter 5 of Ephesians, it says, "Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." He then mentions a list of sinful behaviors we are to avoid. He says that no immoral person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Continuing on into verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." Verse 11, "Do not participate in the useless deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light." Continuing on in verse 15, "But be very careful then how we live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." As a Christian, for lack of a better way of putting it, I believe you can open these spiritual doors to darkness, like dressing up for Halloween, participating in a trunk or treat, thinking that witches aren't scary, or playing with a Ouija board at a friend's house when they say it's just a stupid fun game, particularly when we are young, and particularly when the temptation of curiosity is very strong. We become curious about the supernatural, the macabre even. In our old age, as friends and loved ones pass away, we can be tempted as well when we face our own mortality head on. Some people think it's fun and games, just harmless fun. But as we Christians must believe, that is the opening the door to temptation and even Satan himself. We cannot go there. As a parent, frankly, I think it's a little harder. We are expected to be example in all things, being that godly example to our parents. We fail at it frequently. We all do. And it's very hard to stand apart, especially when all the culture around us does its play it down, as it tries to play it down and talk about how fun and harmless it all is. it's a slippery slope. I know, talking to Jen, who grew up in a strong Christian household, there were a few years where they dressed up for Halloween, and frankly, her parents did struggle about it and eventually stopped doing it when she was young. She wasn't happy about it either, being pulled out of her class's Halloween party in second grade. But now looking back on it, the value of the lesson is there. As an example of Christ here on earth, as the church, we have a responsibility to practice what we preach. We are not perfect, and we will fail. But Halloween provides us the perfect opportunity to stand apart and be separate from what the world thinks is okay. We have to be the ones who are the light shining in the darkness. And I want to challenge you all with this reminder, especially with the divisiveness of our nation and the world today. To be frank, I'm not sure when friendly and civil discourse was thrown completely and utterly out the window. But we do need to set the example for those around us, especially those that are younger than us. Be the example and be set apart and shine his light as we go out and be and do his good works. In closing, I'm going to share with you Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Have yourselves a good and safe and happy Sabbath."